Here's my heart's desire as I sat in the innermost being with God in the holy place, in his presence, just talking about today, talking about what he wants to depart to us as a body. I said, Carl, I want you to tell them how much I love them. He loves you guys. He just, right now, this morning, watching you worship, I just saw him put his arms around you, hug you, pull you close to his chest, embrace you, not tears of dismay, but tears of joy falling from his heart, from his face. His eyes just glisten for you guys. He said, Carl, this is one of the reasons why I feel like this towards this body. Because he said, I'm preparing a habitation for the wanderers during this dilemma of time. There's a great cloud of people coming out of this nonsense that's going on right now, he said. And they're going to be looking for a home. They're going to be looking for a place. They'll be coming in all kinds of conditions. He says, you're like a triage hospital. You're like an emergency room, but you're not just an emergency room. You're a convalescent place of restoration and transformation. He said, I want to talk to them today about how do we as a, and I use the word, this is one way to illustrate it from a military term, how do we as a platoon of believers, each functioning with our own gifting that he's given us, if you have any understanding of a platoon, when you join an army and you join a platoon, they have searched out your giftings. And then they assemble you in that unit so that you can be used to the highest quality of your calling. Some are medics, some are leaders, some are point men, some are the ones, the major ones with a rifle, or man, there's the medic, there's the ones that work with nutrition, there's the whole platoon functions as a unit. We're unified. Where do we hear that word? Unity. God over and over and over again speaks to us about the unification of the believers. I'm not just talking about our body, but I am specifically talking about it in the sense that we have been called together as a platoon, a unity body, to minister to the over to the influx of people that are coming out of this COVID experience, coming out of the trauma that we've been through, and moving in because they are beginning to hear the call upon their lives out of this dismay and out of this wandering, out of this illusion of life that's just a death trap. And he's preparing us to receive them. See, Tony has talked to us for the last almost 3 years now, starting with the book of Revelation. He was saying, God was saying through him, catch it, folks. Be realive, be brought alive, be aware, be attuned. Revelatory things are happening, and you are a major functional piece of that unraveling of the revelation of the kingdom of God to this arena of people. Not in only in our state, but all over the world, because some of you will leave this place and travel like I've traveled, because he's calling you. So I said, well, what do you want me to talk about today? He said, I want you to talk about fellowship. What is fellowship? Let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. So we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard about this life giver, so that we may share and enjoy this life together. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus, his anointed one. Let me tell you how close a fellowship, a union with him has been this morning already. Our worship team brought us through the outer court into the holy place and into the Holy of Holies, where we are seated with him at his feet at the throne room of God. We're in the most holy, sanctimonious place. We're in our secret place with him as a body. He's collectively gathered us around himself at the feet. We're at his feet, and he's sitting before us, talking to us. Now, John understood this. If you read the Gospel of John, you'll understand that that's what he was talking about. He was a mystic. He was caught up in the third heaven. He lived with his head in the clouds. But he laid his body on the breast of Jesus and felt every heartbeat of that man, our King. But he also wrote these three books because I'm a practical man also. I'm very, very practical. What do you mean by practical? He says this is a hands-on job. You're in, listen to the word now, you're in co-fellowship. You're co-commissioned. You're not a renegade, a loner. You're in union with somebody who has the goods that he's departing in you and bringing out through you in union. He also said, Carl asked them, if I touch them in any way today, if there's anything I say through you today that ministers to me, ministers to them, ask them, please put their hand up. I'm not up here as a guest speaker or just a speaker. I'm up here as part of the body. It's my desire today to be an exhorter. That's what I'm called to be. I'm preaching, yes, I'm one of the fivefold ministry areas there, but I'm an exhorter out of Romans 12. I bless you, I bless you, I bless you, I bless you, ma'am. I bless you, ma'am. Yes, Lord, I bless you, I bless you. I bless you, yes, yes, I bless you. That's what he's doing. He's putting his hand on you and saying, yes, 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 I'm imparting. Yes, receive, 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 embrace me. He went on to show me, he said, Carl, I want you to tell him about the tabernacle. I'm going to put that picture up. I used this illustration the last time I spoke, and I didn't get to talk on it much, so he said I could use it again and divulge a little bit more about it. If you notice, the red cross comes in at the gate. When you enter at the gate, you enter with praise, adoration. That's what we did this morning. We basically walked through this morning. We entered his courts with praise, adoration, thanksgiving, hallelujah, glory, 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 glory. Pre-prayer, we talked about the glory, glory, glory. Not only bless you, sir. Not only do we go from there through the burnt altar, through the laver, now we enter the holy place. In the holy place, we give him thanks because he's feeding us. We give him thanks because he's illumined us with himself personally. We give him thanks because he actually wants to talk with us. He actually is communing with us. He's feeding us sustenance of life, his word, plus physical stuff because he provides for us to get it, because we put our hands to the plow and are walking in co-union with him. We're provided. But then we move into the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies, there is no worship in the Holy of Holies because you and I are the worship. Amen. Amen. We are the worship. And he said, I've stripped myself for you. I've stripped myself for you so that we can co-partner together to walk in union upon this earth with a blood covenant that is secure, safe, factual, reality, and transformable of your life and mine into the kingdom of God. And we're to give it away. We're to bear our souls like he bared his soul for us to the people around us. How do we become comfortable to bear our soul to the world? We get comfortable by bearing our soul to one another in a family relationship. The best example I can think of a TV program that talks about that is the Blue Bloods, their older series. Every show ended with the family and the grandparents sitting around the dinner table talking about their life experiences for that day, reflecting from the children on up through grandpa. That's what's happening to you right now today. You're sitting at the feet of the King of Kings, and you're supping with him with the sustenance of eternity. One of the things that I'm asking Gary to write down about with Tony, and I'm asking you, as well as myself, we talk about spiritual gifts. We talk about moving in the Spirit. We talk about our giftings. We talk about the anointed giftings, the supernatural giftings. Do you, I'm asking you because I've struggled with this, do you know what your gifting is? If you don't know what your gifting is, or you don't have a real good grip on what your gifting is, then I am not being a very good leader in this body by just talking words to you and sending you home. I'm pleading to you this morning. I'm pleading to you this morning. Take a piece of paper or your little boil thing and write a note down, say, I'm so-and-so, and I want to know what my gift is, and turn it into us so that we as leadership can take those pieces of paper and begin to put together the ability to be the triage and the God-gifting people for the people that are coming. You need to know what to give away out of you, but who you are. And we're here to teach you that type of stuff. We don't want you naked. We want you clothed, as Revelation chapter 3 talks about, that I put off cold things, I put off lukewarm things, and I become hot for Jesus. And hot, boiling people know who they are and what they're about because they're walking with the King. And that's what we want you to do today. We want you to give us information that says, I need to be taught. I need to understand what these are. I need to be made aware of who I am and what I'm about and why I'm in this body, because he wants to use me. He tore himself open to teach us. He tore us. He just didn't tear himself open for us to get a ticket to stick in our back pocket to pull out when the train of eternity comes in and get on the train and go home. He tore himself open so that we could live a life of that reality and then catch the train when it's our time. So he doesn't leave us He doesn't leave us with our own clothes. Revelation says that he clothed us with a holy garment, a spotless garment. Inside of that garment, if you were aware of using an illustration, if you were to take a white sheet or a garment like that and put a light inside of it and turn it on, you could see specks on that sheet or gown that are dirty. That happens to us. And it happens for a purpose. Because he said, I died for that speck. I died for that dark spot. I died for all the white that you are, all the clarity, all the holiness that you are. I died for all that, and you've reckoned that to yourself, but you're still wrestling with this little spot here. I want it. I want that spot. There's no condemnation. I want that spot. You gave these other spots to me. Why not this one? But you just don't know. If you really knew, come on. He knows everything. He knows why you got it, how you got it, where you got it. He knows all that stuff. Don't hide from him. Don't hide from one another. The transparency of ourselves amidst one another is a foundational way to deal with our weaknesses that he talks about, and let him become our strengths so that we can go into the world and be greater than the obscenity and the nonsense that's going on in the world by proclaiming and offering Jesus to the world around us. Well, you know, I really don't want to go to Africa. God didn't tell you to go to Africa. But he did tell you, when you go to the grocery store next time, ask me when you go in the doors to the grocery store, what do you want me to do in here today? When you get up in the morning, what do you want me to do today? Don't be surprised if he might say, I don't want you to do it, but I had this shopping list all, I don't want you to do anything today. So now you got a choice. Do your shopping list, your thing, or do his thing. You'd be surprised when you do his thing, some of the things on the shopping list, people show up and they get done. You were going running for them, they show up at your house and things get taken care of. We're walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me talk a little bit about that, how he expresses it. Put up Nehemiah 9. There you go. You are the Lord, the God who chose Abraham and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. I want you to repeat after me. I'm chosen. He chose me. He brought me out. He brought me out. He gave me a new name. I'm different. What do you want from me? Here's one word, just one word. I want you to be faithful. I want you to be faithful. Well, but that's a big word. That's a word, major word to unpack. You didn't choose him. He chose you. Say that. He didn't choose me. Or I didn't choose him. He chose me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. He brought me out. I'm different. I have a new name. And I'm in a new position. That new position is that you're in the covenant blood of Jesus Christ. You've entered into a relationship where he shed his blood on you. and covered you. And if you have any understanding about covenanting and blood covenanting, one of the things they used to do, they would cut their wrist, the two people that were going into a covenant tribes, and they would clasp hands and cross wrists, and the blood from the two partners would intersect with each other. You and I have been intersected with the Son of God. We were born flesh from the earth, picked up, formed, and breathed life into. We were set in a garden to begin to mature and understand what it was to be filled with the heart and life of God. But it wasn't a puppet relationship. It was a interchangeable relationship, a fellowshipping with Him. And we disobeyed what He asked us not to do. He gave us choices. But He didn't pick us up, squish us up, and throw us in the trash can. He picked us up and set us out of the garden and went back to talk with His Son and the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, what are we going to do about this? So we go through what we have. That is the Old and New Testament. He spent the whole Old Testament trying to get us to comply faithfully. We couldn't do it. We can't do it as humans. We cannot meet the eternal, sinless, holy God's institutional life out of the flesh. You can't do it. It cannot be accomplished. There's a lot of people that can do better than others, but they're still not good enough. They can't present a portfolio of life to God and say, I deserve to be let in because my portfolio has more good things than bad things. The only way we get in is through the doorway of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but through me, He said. So that covenant He provided for us, the shedding of blood. Let me move down to one thing and then go into the second thing. I want to talk about some words. Let's see if I can find those words. Here. Yeah, here we go. One of the things He asked me to do was try to rein me in. That's the right here, Gary. Rein me in a little bit. So He said, I want you to tell about a sermon experience, a relationship that I had with you in Guatemala. So I'll tell you, it's in three parts. So here's the sitting part. I was sitting getting my sermon prepared to teach at this church. It was on the life of Mary, Jesus, and Martha, and Lazarus, the life of Lazarus, the death, the resurrection of Lazarus. So He said, I want you to talk about that. I want you to talk about it from Martha's perspective. So He said, the first thing I got out of this was that Martha had a very limited faith experience in her life. She was living on sight only in relation to Jesus. That was her theological understanding. If you had been here, Jesus, my brother wouldn't have died. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. We're living in a fleshly, fearful existence, very limited faith. So I wrote all that stuff down, and I was talking about that, and so I'll tell you the next part when we get through with the next couple of things I'm going to say. So that brings me back to these words. Let me read these words to you about fellowship. There's a sharing, companion, partake, communion, communication, partnership, partner, contribution. See, as I was saying a little earlier, we were flesh created out of dirt. We had a soul that was put in us, but within that soul was a spirit of life. When we sinned and were set outside, we were set outside because this heart part, the flame of life, was quenched in that. And so anybody that you're walking around in this building or outside of this building that does not have a personal, living, transformational revelation of who Jesus is and what he did for you, and you experience it and ask that into your life, you are a walking dead person. There is no life in you. I don't care how many things you pour into yourself, how many experiences you have, you cannot light that flame of life inside of you. Then what's the rectification? What's the transformation that we need to go through? What do we need to have happen? Jesus came, our King. Jesus came, our King. He was a man out of flesh, birth, supernaturally, but it was birth. He was Jesus, if you read the word, Jesus was his earthly name. Jesus, just like you and me. Carl, Jesus. They recognized him. Oh, you're Joseph's son, Jesus. But inside of Jesus was the everlasting life called Christ, the second person of the Trinity. Christ was birthed in him. How do we know he was birthed in it? I mean, we know it. The angels sung. We also know it when he went into the temple to be dedicated. And the two people in the temple go, oh, that's the man. It's a baby, but that's the baby. I mean, I've had hundreds of babies come through the temple to be dedicated, but that one is a different person. There's something about that one. The only reason they could recognize it is because they spent time in the Holy of Holies. Who is he? Who is he? Who is he? And when he came into their view, into their arena of heavenliness, with spending time with God, they connected. Then he grew. When he went to the baptismal experience, John said, I can't even untie his shoes. I'm not even worthy to unlash them or even touch them. Jesus said, you baptize me. I need to be baptized by you. I can tell the difference here. No, you do your part because that's what God called you to do. Doesn't matter how small or little, we were talking about it in Sunday school this morning. Doesn't matter how small or little or insignificant you are, if you do your part that he asks you to do, understand that in this room. If you do your little part, every little part makes a whole and makes a difference in the world. You do your part, and I will do my part, which completes the process. It's co-laboring, co-partnership, co-partnering with him, learning how to walk in unison with him. So John did what he said. When Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens ripped, and the Holy Spirit came down and settled upon him, and the voice said, here is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. He was living out, Jesus is now living out yours and my transformational life here on earth so that we can exit and go home with him. He fulfilled everything that he fulfilled in the heavenlies creating the covenant to cover us. And now he's here in the actual physical presence of us, delivering us into completion of that experience. The next time we see the renting, we see it at the beginning of his 3.5 years. We also see it at the end of his 3.5 years on the cross when he's rent to take the sin of the world upon himself. Now, hear me really clearly here. We don't take the sin of somebody else on us. We hear what they say and we give it to him in an offering because it's his. Just like mine was, that person's is his. I don't become somebody else's sin bearer. I become someone else's covenant to release to the King his life so that he can transform it. So in those words of fellowshipping, in that moment when we go, oh, you called me, you brought me out, and we say yes, and we step into eternity with him, into a transformational salvation experience, and we're transformed, and we're ready to die to self and to be resurrected to live here, but also resurrected to live there forever. But it has to happen here through an acknowledgement, through a commitment, through a giving of myself to die that he might live in me. And then I walk with a new DNA. I have a new voice. I have a new leader. It's called Jesus. He's King. Why is Jesus King? He's King because everything that needed to be taken care was taken care of by him. I, he said, am the fulfillment of what my dad and I have discussed to be revelatory for eternity. So there isn't anything missing. You don't have an issue. I don't have an issue. The world doesn't have an issue that has not been conquered by the King. So now I'm at the second point here, sit, walk, about these words. And this is the second part of the sermon in Guatemala. So I'm sitting there and I got all my notes done. And I thought this was a crazy thought. Nah, that's good. So I'll ask again. I said, God, because this is what was in my heart. I spoke it out loud. I said, God, what are you doing? When I said those words, I acknowledged co-heirship, union with myself and him. See, humanly, I prepared to talk. Eternally, I was receiving what the talk was about. And he said, this is what I'm doing, Carl. I'm healing shoulders. Write it down. What else are you doing, God? I'm healing crooked legs, legs that don't function uniformly like they're supposed to. Write it down. You doing anything else, God? Yeah, I'm healing emotional issues. Write it down. Then he said, the first thing you do when you get in the pulpit tomorrow morning is you ask for those conditions. I went, yeah, right. You know, I want you to understand, my head is bouncing back and forth about reality and reality. I heard, but what about I know? He said, you don't know until you do. Then you'll know. Faith will come by doing first what I tell you to do. You don't get the answer and then say, oh, I believe, now I'll do it. No, you get the statement to move, and you move, and then the statement becomes fulfilled. Reality and faith become one. So I moved into sitting now, and now I'm moving into standing. The three components. And if I have any recollection of Tony teaching us over the last couple of years, this was one of the premier books or premier Sunday times that we had was Ephesians. Understanding the book of Ephesians. Sitting with God, walking with God, standing with God. So in standing with God, we don't recollect or think about only sitting at His feet. We embrace it like He embraces us in its reality. So if I'm sitting with Him, communing with Him, and then He asks me to walk with Him, in my walking with Him, I'm beginning to experience or see or feel or move in the reality of this communion relationship with Him, and I'm beginning to understand some things that are beyond my recollection. My giftings, I'm going, all of a sudden I'm beginning, oh, that's what you called me to do. Oh, that's why I did this years ago. I didn't understand it all. It was like I just did something and it was like a magical experience happened. It wasn't magic. It was I was connected. And the event became a reality in the kingdom. So now I'm walking with Him in this relationship. Each one of us in here are walking in a relationship. The depth of it, I'm not concerned about whether you're here, He's here, I'm here. That I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about and what God is concerned about is, will you stop, take an evaluation of where you are, own it, and ask Him, what do you want to do about it? I want to walk. I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to understand the reality of you amidst the reality of where I live. I want to grow. I want to widen. I want the depth of you to run my life. So that's what the... How do we... Bless her, right, Lord. Bless her right now. Bless her. Bless her. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So what do I do about that? How do I stand? We were taught in Ephesians, you stand with the helmet of salvation. Well, what do those things mean? I'm absorbed in the Word. My reality isn't what I see with my eyes or what I read in some secular textbook or what I experience off of YouTube. That's not my reality. He's my reality. I anchor my mind so that I got the mind of Christ directing me. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, that holy garment out of Revelation 3, the end of Revelation 3, the Laodicean church, that thing stays white and pure. And I'm constantly, go to the slide that has the highway thing on it, the last white slide, please. Okay. This was out of a teaching that I taught on hosting His presence or life of Christ. It says, our culture is shaped by purity and power. The presence of God is valued most in heaven. The most valuable thing we have is His presence. The highway of presence. The highway of holiness. That's when we DNA changed, He put me on this highway with Himself. We co-labor, and He walks right down the middle of this highway. On either side of the highway is the hedge of purity, which is our character and the fruits of the Spirit. If you want to know where your character's at, look at the fruits of the Spirit. You can look at the fruits that are rotten and the fruits that are good in Galatians chapter 5. That chapter, stuff about those things, that deals with the highway, the hedge on the highway of holiness, the highway of presence. If you wander over into those bushes, you're off the highway. You're trying to fix yourself by yourself, and you can't do that. You need to get out of the bushes and back on the highway by saying, God, I can't fix myself over there. That's an issue. You'll take care of it. And he says, I will. If you'll get back in the middle of the highway, I'll take care of it. Amen. So we go, we're wandering, you know, we're staggering over, and we move over to the other side, and we get into the power. I just need the power. Or I've seen the power go through my life, so that's what I need to transform my... No, you don't need the power to transform your life. You have the power. You need to come back into the center of the highway where the power is fully available to you. So you're walking in balance. You're walking in balance. We have too many... And I say this because I was one. I was way over here on the edge of the trail trying to balance on one leg of purity and holiness to present God and be a witness in the world. I couldn't be. There was too many times I set my other foot down in the trench to stable myself, which then ruined my witness because I gave into the world ways instead of his way. So when he brought me out and I bumped into some things and I ended up with this power, well, that's what I need. I need to be way over here where I'm in. And I found my life. I couldn't balance myself in the power side either. You know, because I would get something happen and then I would say to this person, God's going to do this, he's going to hit me. And the person's lame as could be. And when I finished praying for him, he's still as lame as could be. What's wrong with the power? Where's the power? No, the power is in the middle. It's a balance. It's a balance. Blessings to you. Blessings to you. Blessings, blessings to you. Blessings to you. See, we walk in co-laborship with him. Therefore, we stay where we're supposed to stay because he's constantly talking to us about the balance. And you'd be so surprised that you'll hear, and you're walking daily, when you go into the grocery store or you're over someplace or you're out someplace, and somebody goes, you're walking along and you hear these two people talking, yeah, man, I went to the hospital and I had to get this brace because this leg is ruined for the rest of my life and stuff. And you go, oh, can I pray for you? I pray for you. No, I don't need any of that stuff. Okay, if you don't need any of that stuff, that's fine. I'll just go on. You know, thank you, God. I wanted to help him. You know. Or you're on the other side, and this is a true story, right? This one. I'm dealing with the boys I work with at night. I sit in the room and black as the ace of spades with 12 boys, and I pray for them all night long. That the demons and all the trash that starts raising from their bodies gets dissipated from that room, and they get a transformed mind starting to happen. They get a different spirit feel. So one night, this boy goes, can I talk to you, Carl? Can I talk to you? So I went over to his bed and knelt down beside him, and he said, are you a God person? I said, what do you mean? Do I believe in Jesus? And so, yeah, is that right? Yeah. So when the Sunday school teacher told me you were some great dude, you know, is it for real? I said, yeah, God is for real. Yeah. Well, how do I know him? I said, this is how you know him. And I shared the simple gospel relationship with him. And he prayed, got saved right there in his bed, 2 o'clock in the morning. So time passes. And I'm out on the ball field, big, huge, open arena of playground, and I'm talking to another kid, And this kid comes walking across the playground, and he confronts me, and he said, "Carl," he said, "I've been praying. My back is horrible." He said, "I can't even touch my toes." He said, "It hurts. I've just lived weeks. I've been, you know, living in pain. Can you pray for me?" So now I got this guy that's lost as a jaybird in a snowstorm beside me. I've been talking to him about Jesus, and he's telling me all the worldly stuff about Jesus, you know, and, you know, the guru, yeah, all this stuff. I said, "No, you need Jesus, the Son of God, the one that can really save you, not stuff." So he's walking along beside me, and this kid comes up beside, over this side of me. So now he's standing there like he said, he's standing there, and this kid's standing here, and the kid says to me about his back. So I said, "Can I pray for you?" He said, "Oh, yeah, that's what I came over here for." So I reached my hand around and put my hand on his back, and immediately when I touched him, I could feel his back change. And I prayed, "Come, Holy Spirit, and heal his back right now." The kid's, you know, standing there like this, and I said, "Do something." And he went right straight to his toes and back up, and he goes, "I couldn't do that." I said, "I know you couldn't, but you can now." He said, "Yeah," and he did it again, and this kid is watching this stuff happen. The whole experience was being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing in the highway of holiness, and this kid got to witness to this kid, the kingdom. I just got to be a conduit of it. So now let me go back, because the time's running on. Let me go back to third part. Sit, walk, stand. Standing, girded in what Ephesians 6 talks about, putting on the full armor of God, being dressed in that armor, standing on 2 feet, grounded in the holiness of power and character of God, and ministering that to those that he puts in front of you as you walk. So now I've been given this assignment to take these 3 things. So this is what happens Sunday morning. I arrive at church, I go in, and they're worshiping, and I'm hanging out in the back worshiping with them. And up the stairs, was up on the second floor, up the stairs and into the room comes this lady like this. She comes over and sits down in her seat, and I go, "Oh, there's one. At least there's one." There's one thing on that, you know, just a glimmer of hope, you know, arise within me. But I want you to understand, the glimmer of hope was in the flesh. Yes. It was in sight. It wasn't in faith. It was in sight that I read, "Oh, yeah, whew, at least I got a chance." No, I don't just have a chance. He's my deliverer. He's my resurrection. He's my faith. He's my power. He's my life transformer. Not just because I see there's people like that walking all around us that are dead as a doornail or hurting unbelievably. We see them. We haven't moved too far up the scale if all we live out of is natural sight. So things proceed, and the worship team comes up, do their thing, and then I go up into the pulpit, and my interpreter comes up there with me. She's a lady that I've known for 10 years that are trips I've been down there. And she stands beside me and says, "What are we doing, Carl?" And I hand her the list. And she said, God told me last night to give you this list and for you in Spanish to ask for these 3 conditions. In the congregation. So she said, "Oh, okay, Carl. I'm excited about that." Yeah. I'm going, "Yeah, right." You know. And so she names out these 3 conditions. And then I said, "Ask them, you know, raise their hand if you have that condition and come up front and line up." Man of faith, line up. I'm ready. So 7 people got up and came up and lined up across the front. So I went down here, and here's the lady with the crippled leg. This experience I'm going through took maybe 5 minutes. I touched the lady and said, "Come, Holy Spirit." She went right out on the floor. Bam! Well, that's one. went to the second one. So these two ladies that I'm talking about next were emotional issues. I asked them what their condition was. So I touched the first lady. Bam, she went right down on the floor. I said, yeah. The third lady goes, and she's wobbling like, you know, she's like this, and she wouldn't, that was where she was, just wobbling. So I walked on to the next guy. So there's a gentleman, the fourth guy's a gentleman. Now, sight, eyesight. I said, what's wrong? He said, this shoulder. He said, see, this one? He puts this one up like this. It's going like this. He said, this is what this one looks like. He said, this is full stretched right here, fully up right here. And it hurts like heck, he said. That's not the word he used, but he said in Spanish, but he said, I said, so I reached out and I touched his shoulder. I said, come, Holy Spirit, heal right now in your name. Pain, go. Bam! That arm went straight up in the air like this, and it's all over the place like the other one. And he's just hallelujah and Carrie, woo! Like this, you know, he's going crazy. So I moved on to this young gal that was standing next. I touched her, bam! She went out on the floor, this concrete floor. Nobody there, she just poof, right down on the floor. You know, so I'll tell you her story. So when we got testimony time, I asked her what happened. She said, well, when I hit the floor, Carl, all I could see was these angels in the ceiling. The whole ceiling was full of angels flapping, and they were talking to me. They were saying, we're ready to go, we're ready to go, we're ready to go. We're going to help you out, we're ready to go. They were getting ready to move to a new location where they could have more people. Wow. And so she was getting this revelatory confession that she could make to the whole body. So the next person was a shoulder issue. He said, yeah, I prayed for him. And he goes, yeah, it's better. So I said, you know, thank you for that. And then he went back and sat down. So now I'm talking to the last guy. And I'm standing there and I put my, he said, this is my right arm. So I'm standing on the side of him and I put my hand on him and I go, come Holy Spirit. I'm standing, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Heal now in the name of Jesus. Pain, go in the name of Jesus. Come Holy Spirit. And the guy's just stiff as a board, just standing there, just stiff. Here's his testimony. He said, when you touched me, Carl, he said, I was absolutely stunned, frozen, because I felt the heat from your touch go straight through my shoulder, into my chest, around to the rib, to the shoulder blade of my back, and I'm mesmerized. What is going on, was his thoughts, he said. And then he said, I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I felt my arm go like that and back up into place and everything tighten up around my shoulder. Wow. He said, Carl, you don't know what happened to me. Wow. He said, 6 months ago I was in a car accident and I rammed this side of my body up against the side of the car, the inside of the car. And ever since that time, I couldn't put my hand around a bottle and pick it up. I'd touch it and feel the fingers on it and go to lift it up and it would fall right out of my fingers. Wow. Yeah. He said, my arm just ached. He says, I have no more ache now. I have no more pain. It can move just like my other one. The next year I was down there, I watched him bowl with this arm. Wow. Now I say all that stuff to you for this reason, and God talking to me about preparing the sermon for today. That was 3 years ago. I'm just learning the nuances of sitting in the midst of the King of Kings and understanding what I walked through 3 years ago. It blew me away. It was a major introduction for me into the supernatural. And that healing was an active, living piece of Carl Hatch. Amen. Because it was part of his DNA in me. But I'm standing before you this morning telling you that the understanding of the DNA transformation that took place at my salvation is literal, real, and revelatory, transferable, now. It's a now event. It was a now event back then, but intellectually and some other ways, I didn't understand the full ramifications of the now. I understand it now. And it, what is done for me, and what my encouragement to you is this morning as we bring this thing to a close, is that each and every one of us sitting in this room are no different than what I just described to you. But you're the preacher, Carl, but no. I'm the person, Carl, in this room with every one of you that's been called out, set apart, given a new name, filled with the Holy Ghost to walk in the fullness as a unit, a triage, and a transformational body of believers in this county. I want you to be aware of the fact they're coming. The people are coming. And that was my urgency of talking to you this morning. My urgency of, if you don't understand about walking in your gift, what the fullness of that is, if you're struggling with that, don't struggle anymore. Get a note to us. Call us on the phone. Tell us, I need a class. I want to. And if we get enough, we're going to have a class. There's nobody in leadership that will say, no, we're not going to take care of you. We're dying to take care of you. We're hungry to take care of you. Because we don't want to stand up here week after week after week after week and teach. And you absorb, and nothing gets squeezed out. We're a body that wants to squeeze it out. Allow you to breathe and flex and breathe. Not just here in church, but where you walk and live daily in your life. Amen? Let's stand. Father, I ask you right now, in what we've talked about today, what you've talked about through me, what we planned and what we were talking about, I'm asking you, because I sensed earlier that some people need to just want to come front, get out of their seat and say, you know what? I'm tired of being lukewarm. I'm tired of feeling cold and hot. I'm tired. I want to be hot all the time. I just want to make a public profession of that this morning. I'm stepping out. I'm not holding back anymore. This morning's my morning to connect completely with you, as much as I understand, and you're going to unfold that to me this morning. If that's you, come up here right next to Gary. Just line up in the front. Come right now. I'm done. I'm going to give them a note. I want to be walking in the fullness of who you are. Some of the prayer team want to come. I like the stories, but I want the stories. Let that be your heart's cry this morning. I want those stories in my life because that's my gift. That's my life from you. I want those type of stories. I want to walk in that revelation. I want to walk. Those of you that are in your seat, I just bless you right now. I just thank you that you have said, I am moving and I want to continue to move more. These are saying, I just want a fresh touch.